Okay, so we are now learning Hilchos Pasach. So we last 2 years we've been learning Basar V'Chalav and Taruvus. So much of that was so analyzing what's the Raisa and what's the Rabbanan, right? And then you figure how it plays out from there. So Pasachum is 100% the Rabbanan. Pretty much from Kuf Yud Beis till Kuf Chaf Aleph is, I shouldn't say all of it, but much of it are almost entirely dinim de rabbanan. They were dinim that were enacted by the rabbanan to, as we'll see, counteract mishum chasmus. That's the term that the Gemara uses, which we generally assume that that means to counteract intermarriage. It might not totally mean that, but we pretty much assume that that's what it means. That in order to avoid intermarriage, there are a couple of things that were put in place in order to make sure that we separate ourselves from non-Jews. You have two.
Yes.
Right. So if there's an extra one, then maybe
everybody has it.
Fine. So Sif Aleph is, so the first thing we'll learn, the first topic on the list is the dinim of Pas Yisrael versus Pas Akum. We'll see that there's possibly a takana about only having Pas made by Jews. Right, the next halacha is then Bishul Akum. That's the next whole section, and then there comes a couple of other halachos and other things having to do with things that are being bought from non-Jews. So that's pretty much the entire. That'll take us through most of the year. Now it is very relevant. It's very relevant in terms of mostly kashrus on an industrial level, giving hechsherim to things on a local kashrus level in terms of the local stores, bakeries, etc. And it's very shayach, and people have nurses, but home people in their house, non-Jews around their house, so that's all, these are relevant halachos that come up. Okay, so if you take a look at the sheet that was given out, so there is the following Mishnah that appears in the middle of the Sechas Avodah Zarah. It says, Ve'ilu dvarim shel ovdi kochav ma'asurim ve'ini surim isarana. The following things of non-Jews are aser, but however it's not an isar hana. So number one is chalav shechavu ovdi kochavim, right? Milk that was milked by a non-Jew, ve'en Yisrael ro'eyu, and a Jew wasn't watching. Okay, so I don't think that we're going to cover that in halacha, but that's the source for the Chol of Yisrael controversy, right? It's that, or I shouldn't say it's really a controversy. The halachic issues revolving around whether one is required to use Chol of Yisrael or whether Chol of Stam, so that's that section. Fine. Va'pas va'shemen shelahen, and then the bread and the oil of them. And then Rebbe ubezdino hitiru shemen, and then the Mishnah records that Rebbe and his beisdin permitted shemen. So what is the implication that they did not permit? So what they did not permit is pas, right? Bread made by non-Jews. There's some kind of takana that was made against it. Now I was a little tormented about how to present this year because the Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, but the Gemara gets into the issue of what happened to that takana. It seems like the takana was not being so well kept. So that the problem is that's really Sif Beis. So Sif Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch really establishes the takana, and then Sif Beis says why or why not it and how relevant it really is today. So I wasn't sure how to do it exactly, but I think we decided on doing Sif Aleph. We're going to cover what the takana is. Then we'll cover how the takana perhaps doesn't apply. It still does apply sometimes. It's still very important to know what it is. And then whatever the halachos that come following that. Okay? So with that, let's take a look at the Torah, which is also on the page here. So the Torah says as follows. The Torah says,
Shalkus?
Yeah, shalkus are some kind of
food.
Yeah, some kind of cooked
some
with
vegetables.
I think it's specifically wheat things. I think it's breaded things. Mm-hmm. Things that haven't breaded type things. That's what it. That's what
so all these other things are going to turn out to be not permitted.
All these other things.
But there's a lot of things.
Yayin, v'chomets, taris tshuva. There are things that have other gzeros possibly attached to them. So, pas shel goyim yesh dvarim she'asurim chachamim. For our purposes, most of them are going to be, we can't have our own anyway, and you need to have hashkacha on them anyways and things like that. So, pas shel goyim. So the Torah says as follows: bread of non-Jews. She yesh dvarim she'asurim chachamim afal pi she'ein lehem ikar min haTorah kamo pas shel goyim afilu afu Yisrael. So there are things that the chachamim came and asered, even though D'oraisa, there's nothing wrong with them. D'oraisa, they're fine. It's 100% kosher. And what is the example he gives? So he gives some key words here. He says, Kemo pas shel goyim afilu afu Yisrael. Non-Jewish bread, even if a Jew baked it. So what does that mean? That's already, that's a little unclear. What does it mean? Non-Jewish bread that a Jew baked. Well, which one is it? What does that mean? So we'll have to work on that shortly. Then it says, Vashlakush and Mavashlam Goyim, and then the also these green type things that were cooked by Goyim. V'asru lishtos b'misibasan afilu shar mashkim she'im behem mishum chashash yai nesach. And we prohibited to drink in their groups other drinks, even that don't have yayin nesach in it, meaning if it has yayin nesach, yayin that's wine that was used for avodah zarah, so that's aser. The section after this, chaf chaf gimel and onwards, is the halachos yayin stam yinam and yayin nesach, meaning our kosher wine issues. But it seems like there's an additional takanas, and that is you're not allowed to drink with them even things that are 100% kosher. Even kedem wine shouldn't be drunk amongst non-Jews. So this, actually, just to discuss this quickly, is not covered in our section Shulchan Aruch here. It's covered in a section, separate section of Shulchan Aruch, but the Beis Yosef comments that he's not really sure where this came from. Now we know where the tour got it from. The Rambam says it. The Rambam has this idea, and it's unclear where the Rambam got it from. The truth is, I shouldn't say it's unclear, but the Rambam himself got it from a Gemara. There's a Gemara that seems to say this, but Tosos comments on the Gemara that it's Amorayim that are having this discussion, and it's unclear where they got it from. So that's really the question. I mean, the Amorayim seem to just have this idea that you shouldn't be having drinks with non-Jews. So the Beis Yosef comments that it's probably a Brisa or a Tosefta someplace. It's basically really quoting from Tosos, that this probably writes there Tosefta someplace that we lost, that the Amorayim had, and there probably is some kind of takana on the books not to be in a bar drinking with non-Jews. We'll talk later on in Shulchan Aruch, we'll get into that more details. Fine. So then the tour continues. He says, V'chol eilu advarim asur mishum chasnus. All these things are prohibited because of chasnus. What does that mean? Chasnus perish lo yavo lehischatin behem. So that we won't come to marry them. Shkol eilu moshkin leva adam v'miskar v'aleim be'echam mi'eilu yavo lehischatin behem. Because all these things, we've mentioned really two things. Bread, and we've mentioned drinking. So both those things kind of drag the heart of man, right? And if it drags the heart of man, so then that may come to lead us to marry them, and that would be obviously a problem. Okay, so that's step one. Step two in the Torah says as follows. It says, Pasav Adunia vi Harash, my father, remember the Torah is the Rush's son, so my father wrote in a tshuva that shelo asu ela pas chitim v'sorim v'kusim v'shibol shu'al v'shibum. That the only thing that are prohibited is bread made out of the five grains. What are the five grains? Wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. Right? We know that from Pesach time. Right? So those are the five things that are asur. Val shel kipnios o shel oriz v'dochan eino b'chlal pas stam sh'asru v'gam eino chashiv lios bo mishum v'shulei goyim. He says, so the other, if it's other things made of rice or millet, or beans, right? So those types of things that you could make flour out of. So those aren't included in bread. So you're not going to have the problem of pas akum there. And you also don't have to worry about bishul akum. So at this point, you realize that there's two halachos here that are in a way are parallel, but don't totally match up. There's the halachos of pas akum, which is that you can't have bread that was made by non-Jews, and you can't have bishul akum, that a non-Jew can't cook things for you. There are kulas of each, and there are chumras of each. And the halachos don't necessarily apply. So for example, pas akum has a leniency that we'll see the leniencies of pas akum, but possibly if there's nothing else around, or if it's made by a baker, which we'll get into. So those are the important leniencies that keep in mind when it comes to pas akum. However, bishul akum has its own leniencies. Right, so past palter. So bishul akum has own leniencies. The most important leniency when it comes to bishul akum is that it only applies to something. What we call ola al shulchan malachim. That would be fit to be served at the table of the king. Right, what that means, we'll have to wait to figure that out later. But it means it has to be nice food. It can't be not such nice food. So the Torah is really saying two things here. He's saying A, you don't have to, if you have bean bread. I don't know if there's such a thing called bean bread. Is there such a thing called bean bread?
Just corn
cornbread. Okay, so if you have cornbread, so cornbread A is not under the restriction of pasachum, meaning it does mean pasachum. Why not? Because it's not pas, right? It's not bread. Now you might make a mizonos on it, but it's not bread. We'll cover that in the Shulchan Aruch.
Some cornbread has wheat in it.
Okay, non-wheated cornbread, real 100% cornbread, right? So it's not pas, so therefore you don't have to worry about pas akum. And then the Torah is also saying that you have to worry about bishul akum, right? If it's not in the pas akum category, then it automatically falls into the bishul akum category. So he says, no, you don't have to worry about bishul akum either. Why? Because if it's not one of the five grains, it's not olal shulchan malachim. Now we'll get into it in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's a little strange. Wait a second, by definition it's not? But you can't make a cornbread that would be olal shulchan malachim, like it's impossible. So you have to understand what that means. Okay, so that's the tour. Take a look down on the Beis Yosef, and this is I kind of just cut a huge block and put it on. We'll see how we do this. And it turns out that there is a big machlokas between the Ran follows the tour. However, as Beis Yosef points out, there's other Rishonim that disagree. So remember, there was that line in the tour that he pointed out, pas shel gayim, that a Jew baked. Right? So what does that mean on a simple basis? So how could I come up with such an example? Well, if you have a Jewish baker that works for a non-Jewish owner, right? You can imagine such a thing, right? A Jewish baker that works for non-Jewish owners, that would be pas shel goyim, that was baked by a Jew. So what is that? Is that pas akum or is that pas Yisrael? Right? So the Torah is saying, right, that would be pas akum. Right? That's what the Torah says.
What if I'm a Jewish baker? If I employ somebody who's not Jewish, who does the kneading and the mixing and all that,
If you're the owner.
Let's say I'm the one who puts it in the oven.
Oh, you're the one who puts it up. Very good. That's the topic that we need to discuss, right? What defines it as being pasakum versus not? What defines it as Jewish involvement versus not Jewish involvement? So let's take a look in the Beis Yosef now. The Beis Yosef attempts to spell this out. So the Beis Yosef says, Pas shel goyim da aser, pashut b'mishnah perek ein ma'amidim, right? The Talmudic source for this so far is pretty obvious. It's a Beferish Mishnah, right? That's the first line that the Beis Yosef says, perek ein ma'amidim, mesetas avodah zar. And then he goes on and says, "V'diver Rabbeinu nir shehu sover kedas aran." So from reading the Rabbeinu, who's Rabbeinu? So Rabbeinu is the Tur, right? The Beis Yosef is officially a commentary on the Tur. So he says the way that based on the Tur, so he sounds like the Ran. What does the Ran say? Shekasav li nira shapas shel goyim afilu nisbas shel al yedei Yisrael. That if you have pas of non-Jews, even if it was baked by a Yisrael. Kagon, Shagoy Lashu V'Orchu, so he gives a different. Kavan, oh, sorry, even if it was baked by a Jew, Kavan Shagoy Lashu V'Orchu, because the non Jew kneaded it, and I guess Arhu is like laid it out, kind of. Kneading is like making the dough, then you shape it, right? I think that's what it is. So that it's because the non-Jew kneaded it and shaped it. Umin ha-goyhu loko, and so he's taking it from a non-Jew. Aser, right? It's prohibited. Mishum chasnus, because of chasnus. V'chi amrinan, and then we say there is a Gemara that says the pas shelish malachos yeshbo, there's three malachos involved. V'afa Yisrael shari, and if a Jew bakes it, it's mutter. So it seems to go against the Gemara that appears three dafim later. So the base. So the Ran. This is the Beis Yosef quoting the Ran is saying no. Hanimi b'pas shelanu. That's talking about our bread. Meaning, if it's a Jewish baker and a non-Jew needs it, and a Jew throws it in the oven, so he says that's fine. Shari in bo iser el mishum bishulei goyim. The only problem is bishul goyim, but iser bishulu shall pass hatiru so chachamim ba'achas mishalosh malachos. So that case, in the case of the bishul of the bread, so Chacham say that's okay as long as the Jew throws in the oven. About pas shalahem, if it's non-Jewish bread, meaning the non-Jew owns the factory, right, and non-Jews did the kneading, right? Afilu nafis al yedei Yisrael. Asura, even if a Jew is the one who threw it in the oven, so it's still going to be prohibited.
You said if non-Jew makes the bread, but a Jew puts it in the oven, that's permissible.
No, that's permissible if it's owned by a Jew. But if it's owned by a non-Jew, and the Jew only throws it in the oven, so that would not be good enough. That's what the Ran is saying.
So why is there more preeminence on in the first case, who puts it in the oven as to who actually makes the bread? Why are we less concerned? If a Gentile does the mixing, the kneading, and then it's your factory, your bakery, and you actually take the kneaded bread and you put it in the oven, why does that have greater standing as to whether it's permitted or not, as opposed to who actually made bread?
Okay, so what the Ran is saying is there's two, there's really three possible characters, right? There's right. The owner of the whole thing, there's the baker, and there's the kneader. Kneader, we call him the kneader, right? So he's going to have to go through equations to figure out, okay, which is which. So he says, first of all, the following case is for sure true: that if a non-Jew owns the factory, if a Jew owns it, and the Jew throws it in the oven, right? Doesn't matter who kneaded, doesn't matter who did everything else. That's going to be considered pas yisrael. Okay, that's halacha. That he says is based on a pretty clear gemara, alamed ches amid beis, where it talks about there's three malachos. If a Jew throws it in the oven, so then it's okay.
But he also says that that's bishalakum.
No. He says the only issue, you have a potential issue of bishalakum, but you solve that because the Jew is the one throwing it in the oven.
If a guy threw it in the oven, that would be bishalakum.
If a guy would throw it in the oven, so then you would have a problem.
So that's why it's
right?
More important.
But what the Ran is adding in, though, right, is that if a non-Jew owns it, and a non-Jew does the kneading, and a Jew is the one that throws it in the oven, so he says that's not good. That would still be considered pasakum.
The only difference being it's a non-Jew who owns a bakery.
In that scenario, right, yeah. The only Jew is that non-Jew.
Okay.
Right. So, by the way, so you go back into the tour, right? What was that line of the tour? The tour said, Pas shel goyim, afilu afu Yisrael, that would be a problem. So that's what you have here. You have Pas shel goyim, right? The non-Jew owns the factory, the non-Jew set up the bread, and the Jew's the one who baked it, right? So what do we call that? So according to the tour, and now according to the Ran as well, we're going to call that Pas Akum. So therefore we distinguish into two things. I'm not sure what that means. Okay, let's skip that. Well, do you have the Ravid on your page here? Yafleha Ravid? Yeah, I think you do. But I can't find it. There it is. Vafleha Ravid is the last line about two-thirds of the way down in the Beis Yosef. He says, the last word on the line is Laharivid. Right?
Yes.
Seven lines up.
What's the how we combine for best cake in
New York.
Okay, yeah. So first of all, there, right, was a Jew starts the fire there. So if a Jew.
That doesn't mean anything, really.
Does it? Yeah, come next 2 months. Okay. A couple of things. First of all, I'm quoting a Ran here, and we don't pass for like this Ran. So the Ran, we actually, we'll see, right, that the Rambam disagrees. Rambam at least seems to disagree. The Rashba also seems to disagree. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass him against this. We say that if a Jew is involved in the process, so that already ends the problem of Pasachim.
Look, I'm not as knowledgeable as you are. When I look at this way, New York bagel over there, next place.
Right.
I think it's Palestinian, right?
As far as I know.
Jordan.
Okay. So from that part of the world.
Okay.
Not Jewish, we know that.
How many Jewish people does he employ? Because I see...
No, not too many.
Okay.
But we do have enough involved.
How do you know that I don't know any of his fake stuff, so it doesn't bother me. But how do you know what he makes is kosher?
Because we have a shkacha. In general, we have an understanding that we have hashkacha. I mean, there's a mashkiach that goes in there often.
Who is a mashkiach? Goes in there often, but what about when he's not in there?
So then he comes in unannounced, and we assume...
What I'm saying is, by all rights, if you want to look at it narrowly, it is a non-kosher establishment.
No.
Period.
No.
Not Jewish.
I disagree.
Well, you have got some warnings that Mr. Rockman had to go out of town. He gave me the key.
Right.
Like around 5:30. And I'll go, you know, and they give me the key, open up. I'll go, you know, turn on the light, and they tell me what I had to push. I push the light.
Did you make the dough?
No, it was just I turn on the... Someone
So forget for that question. You got to hold on. If you want to ask a general question about how we,
I'm
how,
trying to see how you,
right.
You're rationalizing, so, and you wanted to make your conscience clear. With what you're saying, you make
oh my God.
Conscience clear.
Okay, number one, there's a few issues that you brought up. If you were this initial hashkacha, I mean, how do we know what's going on there is what we think is happening is actually going on in there. So there's ways of doing that, right? It's not in his interest to get caught. That's the main thing. Right, so in a place like that, if he starts bringing things that aren't kosher, etc., he'll get caught pretty quickly. There's people going in there often enough that will be able to catch him, and then he'll lose his license.
Well, another step. How about the help?
No. But he's overseeing the help.
What? Stop the help from eating a ham sandwich.
Because they'll lose their job, Gary. They'll lose their job. That's why. That's what the issue is.
Who's going to know?
The Mashiach is going to come and see.
But as an example,
you're mixing up too many issues here. Okay, one is that the bagels are kosher. There's no non-kosher. No, technically they're kosher. There's no non-kosher ingredients. I think you're dealing with the issue of non-Jews being involved in the preparation.
So how does that fit into this rubric?
No, so we don't pass them like this.
Okay. Oh, it doesn't matter then.
Hold on, okay. Yes.
What about the issue I told you a few years ago that the bakery has a sign, turn off the oven, we're not being used?
Because
I told you I was working there a few days.
I don't know, I haven't, it's not my department. So the,
one time I'll drink some food. I want to give it to the employee.
Okay. My personal story is about these sections should not go on tape for the whole world to hear. So that's section number one. So now we have the sheets of the Ravid. The Ravid points out as follows. He says, "Va'afla ha-Ravid," and even according to the Ravid, the Ravid himself seems to agree. I mean, he says, really, the Ran really says that. Really, he says the Ravid himself says that matzasi shapir shalahid lekam the pas shalosh malachos yesh she'ein bo iser ela mishum bishulei goyim. I just messed up here. I went back a line, right? The pas shalosh malachos yesh bo dafka bepas shalanu. It's only in our bread. About lo min hatam, right? He says that Gemara, which says that there's three different parts of the process, and as long as a Jew is baking it, it's okay. Says that's only if it's owned by us, but if it's not our own, so then you're going to have a problem. He says, however, skip a line or so. That he says v'chadivrei haran mashma l'chor medivrei harashba. So the Rashba there is there as well. You see the Rashba? Mm-hmm. Where's the Rashba in your
four lines up from the paragraph? Yeah. The first word.
First word is
Harashba. There is Vivra Mashma Lakor Medivri Harashba. Shekasa Baturas Abaisa Aruch. So the Turas Abaisa Aruch is the Rashba's book on Kashrus, which we quoted from a bunch when we learned Taruvus and Basar V'chalav. So he has all of your day, much of your day is in there. So he says there, Achar Shegemar Dine Pas Shelgayim, Koloshan Hazet. He says, after he finishes the laws of the Pas of non Jews, he says in this language, Will Inyan Pas Shel Yisrael, Shenasa Ide Goy, Karsim Perk In Mamidim Amarabi Yochan and Shalash Malach. However, so he seems to almost go in that camp about b'tshuva. In a responsa, kasav v'feirish pashal balabatim she'afu Yisrael o shehesik b'taner o shehecha b'gachalim shari. That if you have a pas of non-Jews, that a Jew is the one who baked, and a Jew is the one who threw it in the oven, right? So that's going to be permissible. And he goes on to claim that that's also what the Rambam holds as well. And at the end, this I didn't put in, but at the end he says, because we're only talking about Unya Halacha, because the Rambam and the Rashba agree that don't make a distinction between bread, the factory that's owned by a Jew versus the bakery that's owned by a non-Jew, as long as a Jew is involved in throwing it in the oven, being the baker. So that's going to be permissible and to consider it pas Yisrael and not pas Akum. Okay, so that's halacha number one. That's how we pass. That's so, how the Beis Yosef declares we pass him, and we can turn to Shulchan Aruch and see that's how we pass the Shulchan Aruch.
Non-Jew does all the mechanical stuff, and then Jew puts it in the oven.
Yeah. So how does that then go to what about a Jew starting the fire?
Well, I was going to ask why did it, why why do they put preeminence on who puts it in the oven as to who actually is selling?
So what's the concern? What's the concern of chasnas? The concern of chasnas is I'm going to love this bread so much that I'm going to want to marry this person's daughter. Right? So who gets the credit for the bread?
The one who makes the bread.
So
not the person who puts it in the oven.
So
I would think that the way the bread tastes and how much I love it doesn't have to do with who threw it in the oven. Has to actually made
it has to do with who's the baker.
Baker.
So we're defining here that the baker is the person who threw it in the oven. He gets the credit, I think. If a Jew needed it, then a non-Jew throws it in the oven. I don't think that you would get out of the problem. I'm not sure I saw it explicitly. That might show up later on in the first. In the
so all yeah. these rules apply to businesses. I mean, doesn't it like would apply more to? Like a house.
So hold on. Okay, right. So that's Sif Beis. That's Sif Beis, right? According to the din of the Chachamim, I mean, the way it was laid out in the Mishnah, at least, it seems like that there's no distinction, right? We'll see in Sif Beis. I don't know if we'll see it tonight, but we'll see in Sif Beis that all of a sudden the Gemara points out that possible distinction. We'll see how we deal with that. But yes, there's definitely when all the dust settles. There certainly is a distinction al pi halacha between a factory and a non-factory, but not if you're makbid on Pas Yisrael. I mean, if you want to be a Pas Yisrael person, right, and then there's no distinction between a factory and you're going back to the original takana. The original takana is that there shouldn't be any distinction. So now we take a look in the Shulchan Aruch.
This is only for bread.
Right now we're learning only about bread. Okay, so in the Shulchan Aruch we state as follows. So the Shulchan Aruch is on the back of your page. I copied the page of Shulchan Aruch for you. It actually came out pretty well, but actually readable, right? So the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph says as follows: Asru Chacham Lechol Pashal Amim Obdei Kochavim. It's prohibited to eat the bread of the non-Jews. Of the Chachavim, who are idol worshippers. So all the poskim quickly jump on and say, doesn't just mean if they actually worship idols, but any non-Jew is included in this category. The Shach sends you to these other simanim where he's discussing wine, that wine applies to all non-Jews, regardless of their Avodah Zarah serving credentials. Why? Mishum chasnos, he adds in the reason, because of chasnos, because of something having to do with marriage. So if you take a look at the Shach, which is on the top left, so he talks, what's Pas Shalavim? How do we define bread of non-Jews? So the Shach says, Mashma, Das Machaber Bahara B'cholsim, and Dein Isser Pas Shal Ovi Kochavim, Ela Kishafu Ovi Kochavim. That the only problem of Pas of non-Jews is when a non-Jew baked it. That says the Beis Yosef wrote according to the Rambam as the Rashba, and not like who? Like the Tur and the Ran and the Raivid. Right? He passes like the Rambam. Right? The Afal Pi Shalashu V'Archu Avi Kachavim, even if a non-Jew needed it and straightened it, Kol She'asabo Yisrael Ma'isabafia Mutter. As long as the Jew did the action of baking, so it's going to be permissible. That's why the Mechaber didn't get into any distinctions between kneading and shaping, because he held that it was okay, right? That whole discussion, which goes on, by the way, for two entire pages, is all within the Ran, right? But not according to the Ram and the Rashba. And that's how most paskin. So most paskin that it only has to do with the baker, doesn't have to do with the other things. And Richard is upset because it's not being strict enough. We want to stop intermarriage. We have to do better than that.
It just seems to me that the person who actually mixes the ingredients is more responsible for the taste of the bread than the person.
I understand what you're saying.
That's just me, but I wouldn't.
I hear it. I would bet the baker is the best paid. I bet the baker is the front man. That is true. Like in matzah bakeries, I find the baker is like the most paid guy, even though
he might have an easier job. Someone comes to your house for dinner, and you serve them a cake.
Right.
And they say, this cake is really delicious. Who made it? And you say, I put it in the oven. You're going to get credit for making the cake?
Duncan Hines gets the credit.
Yeah, but you
can bread.
The right time to take it out.
No, no, cake is the same halacha, yeah.
Would you take credit for that?
I mean, I always take credit.
I
understand. I hear the question.
That just so anyway.
I hear the question. But if you put it in the oven, that means that means that you have the ownership of it to distribute it. That might be the. I hear. I gotta look into it. Okay, Mishum Chasnas. So what about the idea that it's for marriage? If you take a look at the Shach here, so the Shach Gimel on the left says about Mishum Giul Niule Ovde Kochavim Leikel Meichlus the Stam Kaleim Einan Bnei Yoman. However, this is the concern. The concern is because of the marriage and not because of their blios. I mean, even if you can make absolutely positively sure that the kalim that they're using are kosher, or even if you're not absolutely sure, but probably it's kosher anyways because stam kalim einam b'nei yoman and it hasn't been used that day and it has been used 24 hours or whatever, all that teir that we've learned over the last 2 years, right, still you have to be concerned here because of this concern of chasnas. The Rama adds in some key words, v'afil v'makom d'leika mishum chasnas aser. And even if there's no concern of chasnas, when would there be no concern of chasnas? Let's say the baker has no children, right? And the baker has no children, so then it should be okay, right? So says the Shach, absolutely not, right? So the Shach right here in Dalet says, go pass hakomrim, she'ain lehem banim. Komrim are those priests, right? Like the bread of priests, so the priests, you assume, don't have any children, right? So us the lo mishum bito shamocher the lo mishum bito shamocher onosinam. It's not because of the child of the seller or the child of the person who's giving it to you. We should be knows of the chametz in general. We're trying to create separation. Shemin lazeh yish lazeh. This one doesn't have a kid. The other one has a kid, and therefore they're going to be prohibited.
The priest is about nine and bezera.
So if you look at the bottom, the Pischi Tshuva quotes the following possibility. He says, what about somebody who is a mumar, somebody who is a Jew that is an apostate, right? So are they included in the prohibition of pas akum or not? So he quotes from the Tiferes Lamosha, Kufya Gimel Siftes Shekasov, de pas shel mumar, Shari, he says it's mutter. Why? The mishum chasnus leika. There's no issue of chasnus. The afal pi shechet Yisrael, even though he's a sinner, chata Yisrael, who even though he is a sinner, umutter li sevito. You're still allowed to marry his daughter, right? His daughter is Jewish. You're allowed to marry his daughter. So if you're dafka allowed to marry his daughter, says the tiferet, whoever this is, the tiferet lamosha, quote the Pesach Tshuva that it's okay. In the Sefer Chilkas Binyamin, so the Sefer Chilkas Binyamin is written by, remember we had the Badei HaShulchan, right, which was the, right, Revival Kohn. So the Chilkas Binyamin is his son, Rav Binyamin Kohn, is the author of the Chilkas Binyamin. So he took over the family business and printed Simanim Kufyud Beis to Kufchaf Beis. He actually, if you want, his phone number is actually printed in the book. I actually called him once with a shayla and something that I found in here. And he called back. Very nice man. And we had a nice discussion. So, I'm sorry. His phone number is not in here. I wrote it in. I'm not sure where I got his phone number then. I must have left it on the...
Yeah, what is
his phone number? Is it? Is in there?
It's in mine.
It didn't come with his phone number in
there. How did I get the phone number? All right. Anyways...
411.
I called him once, and he's very nice, and we had a nice discussion about a different topic. So he quotes a whole bunch and says that most disagree with this Pesach Tshuva, that if it is really a mummer, if we really have mummer mizmanizeh, so you know somebody who became Christian, right? So he would say that the pasach would apply to such a person. So the truth is that comes up, meaning you know you. You have like an intermarriage or something, and they raise the family Christian, raise a child Christian, right? So, would the issue of pas, you know, akum apply to that person? So, yeah, I don't think I would sell that person my chametz, right? But the issue does come up. Okay.
So we're not worried in this case about lard or anything being used.
Yeah, so we assume that the Hashkafli, a Bishul Akum has that concern. The Bishul Akum, one of the reasons for Bishul Akum is they were concerned that they may have snuck something in.
I mean, in this case, it's not the
Hashkafli. No, I assume that there here is also there's Tam. I mean, when he's talking about bread, there's Tam. So
that's not that addresses my question. The person who's mixing all the ingredients.
Right. You want the guy with the recipe.
Well, I mean.
Right.
Same thing. How do you know
the I hear the question. That's not the din, but I hear the question.
But see, in Persia, because the most of the bakers, they were goyim, the rabbis in Persia allowed the Jews to buy bread from the bakery because they said their religion is so close to us, because it's forbidden for them to eat. You know.
Well, hold on. That's because of Sif Beis. I mean, this is Sif Aleph. This is the rule setting up the rules of Pasachim. Sif Beis sets up the rules of, okay, what if it's made in factory? Does Pas Yisrael still apply? That's Sif Beis. This is the setting up the halacha. Apparently, next week we'll discuss the next thing. So then he goes on to say, this was quoted from the Rush, right? The Torah quote in his father's name. V'lasurel pashal chamisha mine dagan about pashal kitnis. Right, if it's the only thing is the pas of the five mine dagon, but if it's of beans and of oriz and dokhan, the other things, so it's not included in bread, and it's okay. How do we know this? So you take a look at the Gra. This is a classic Vilna Gaon Gra Gimel. He says Kemosha Kasev and Perik Vav de Brachos, in the sixth Perik of Brachos, and we thank him for giving us the daf that he found it on Daf Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph. So you take a look there. What's he discussing there? That's actually the daf that discusses what bracha you make on rice, right? What bracha do you make on rice? So the Gemara originally suggests that you don't make a bracha of shahakol on rice, because it's not mezonos, and pretty much the whole amud is trying to prove that no, you actually do make a bracha of mezonos on rice, even though you don't bench or you don't make an alamichya on rice at the end. So one of the things that's quoted there in the Gemara is why? Because rice doesn't establish a meal. You don't set up a meal surrounding rice. So that's what the Gra was alluding to. I mean, if you're not going to be setting up a meal around this din, right? Sorry, around this food, right? Bread, you set up a meal around. Right, rice you don't set up a meal around. So if you're not going to be setting up a meal around it, so then you don't have to worry about it with regards to the halacha of pas akum.
How about the gluten-free people who might use rice cakes instead of bread?
Right. So there is an ongoing issue of, okay, what about this man? So I would say that's not pas. That's not a pas akum problem.
Okay.
I mean, it's not pas is defined as the five mini dagon, and there's nothing else to talk about. What there is to talk about, however, is what the Ramah comments. The Ramah then comments says, "V'gam eino asum yishum bishul over the kachavim." You also don't have to worry about bishul akum. Why? If eino ola shulchan malachim. If it's not ola shulchan malachim. So if you, as the Taz points out here, he says, "Yeah, im." Im is a big word. That's if. If it's not olal shulchan malachim, so then you don't have to worry about bishul akum. But what's the Ramah arguing? The Ramah really is arguing and saying, but if it is olal shulchan malachim, right, even though, yeah, it's bean cake, who really eats bean cake? And who really eats rice cake? And who really eats corn cakes? Right? So it's unclear whether, you know, like George Bush choked on pretzels, does that mean that pretzels all of a sudden are olal shulchan malachim? Right? So that's actually a shaila that's out there. We'll discuss that more when we get into to bishul akum, but what the Ramah really is saying here is that, yeah, even though these things are going to slide out of the gezerah of pas akum, they then fall into the gezerah of bishul akum, and then the rules of bishul akum set in, and you have to figure out whether it's really whether which one of the exceptions to the bishul akum rule that it's going to fall into. Okay, so next week we'll get into the question, the phantom halacha, the phantom din of the disappearing halacha of Pas Akum. That will be discussed in Sif Beis.
Chazon Baruch Yeshua. Pas Akum Malachim is what?
So.